What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 408, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just last minute rush around getting things going.
We're not on Facebook. I selected it in StreamYard, and I guess once you create the stream, you can't like re. You can't wait. Oh wait, actually, I might be able to change it.
That's interesting. There is a link though on our Facebook to the YouTube stream if you want. So
I think we'll see if we go live on Facebook. I think it should be there now. Ryan, you can check. It should.
I'm checking. We'll
see. I initially selected it, and then I realized as we were going live, I'm like, wait, the little Facebook icon isn't at the top.
Didn't let up. Yeah.
But hopefully we're back on Facebook. Yeah, another week, lots to do, lots getting done. I've come to the conclusion that I need to clean my place because there's just hardware everywhere. There's hardware. I've been using my second bathroom as a storage. And that needs to not happen. And then in my living room is just full of hardware things. I've been trying to organize stuff. So it's just
we did a last minute garage sale Saturday, like literally the day before. We were like, let's do a garage sale tomorrow and get rid of stuff, because it was like we need to clear some stuff out. And
yeah,
it worked out. Just sometimes you just got to do it, right?
Yeah, no, I need to do it, and I just have so much stuff. I've been trying to get rid of some stuff, and yeah, so I think the next few days is just going to be reorganization of the office, reorganization of all the PC stuff that I have. So we've got a thumbs up, so I think we're on Facebook, so that's good. But yeah, good that we got that all figured out. I feel like every week we get on here, there's like something that we forget to do, or like that I don't check sometimes. But lots going on this week. If you guys do want to follow along with us as we go through the different stories and our reviews and everything that we're going to be talking about, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, all the articles. So if you want to click through with us as we go through, or if you hear something, if you're listening later, you're like, oh, what were they talking about? Everything is linked in the show notes, so you have all those links if you want to check something out later as well. So we'll start out this week with an interesting review. So if you hear the name CyberPower PC, what do you think of?
Pre-built computers.
I think instantly. Across the board, everybody, when you think of CyberPower PC, they make pre-built gaming PCs. That's just what they're known for. You can configure your own, or they have a bunch of pre-builds, all that kind of stuff. Well, they sent us over this keyboard. This is
the black and gold.
Yeah, so this
looks so good.
This is their CK60. It is a keyboard. It's a mechanical keyboard, and it's probably the heaviest mechanical keyboard that I've ever reviewed. It weighs 2.8 pounds. So that's like heavier than some laptops. I mean, it's the reason that it's so heavy is that, and it's 60%. Like, you guys can see, this is like a 60% keyboard. It's not, you know, but the chassis itself is CNC aluminum, like the entire thing. So a lot of keyboards, like your top face right here, will be aluminum, but the rest of it is plastic for the most part. This entire chassis, the entire thing, is CNC aluminum, and then you have the nice inlay in the back, and it has laser engraved, but a CyberPower logo that's laser engraved. This thing is like, if you ever wanted a weapon for the end of the world, this is it.
This is an option. Yeah.
You know, but this is a really cool keyboard. So like I said, this is 60%. As you saw, I have the black version. Let me go ahead and bring up the review for you guys.
We've seen them working on this for a while.
Like, yeah, we initially saw this
2 years ago.
Yeah, at CES 2022, right? Yep. I don't know, 2023. And then we saw it again in 2024. Right. So the keyboard itself, like I said, it's a 60% keyboard. We have the black version here. 60%. I can't. If you make a 60% keyboard and it doesn't have a detachable USB cable, there's something wrong with you. So detachable USB cable that comes, it's a braided cable. And then we have a keycap and a switch puller as well with it. And the actual keyboard, like I said, it is so heavy duty. It's heavy. It feels great, but it's very plain Jane. Like, as you can see, black keyboard, black keycaps, no see-through legends on this. And they offer it in a white as well. And the white is very much the same. I believe the white is white keycaps with black legends, no see-through legends on that one. And they're both, again, have the CNC aluminum, you know, PBT keycaps. So this is going to look brand new pretty much anytime you use it. You can see those there. Under those keycaps, we have Gateron red switches. And this is the only switch type currently available for this keyboard. So if you're somebody who likes something clicky like a blue or something else, you can't get it with this keyboard. It's just the Gateron reds. Of course, those are mechanical key switch. And this is a hot swappable design. So if you wanted to swap out the switches later down the line, you can go ahead and do that. No height adjustment on this keyboard. So as you can see it here from the side, no height adjustment, but I do believe that the angle that it's at is really good. I didn't feel like out of place when I first started using it. There are a lot of keyboards that sit kind of flat, and when you type on them, like it's weird at first, but this felt really, really good. Overall, you can see it's just like a, I'd call it like a chunky keyboard like this.
Definitely.
You know, the frame is thicker, and again, it's very heavy. And you can see that inlay on the back here, the engraved CyberPower PC logo there. The Type C is over here. And one thing that's nice about the Type C is a lot of times you see these Type C's on a lot of keyboards. My actually keyboard might have it. So I'll unplug my keyboard. Hopefully I don't break anything. So this keyboard, if you can see that Type C, see like the,
they're so small,
the circle that goes around it. So if I got an aftermarket cable that would go in there, it might not fit. It might not, you know, you get like a coiled cable and the connector is a bit bigger. And sometimes you just might have issues, right? But with, you know, with this, it's really big. Like the opening for it, do I have a picture of the opening? Guess not. The picture or the opening here is quite big. So any like aftermarket cable is going to fit on this, which I thought is really thoughtful. Because some of them, like the cable that comes with it just fits. And then if you want an aftermarket cable, it just won't fit sometimes. So really nice to see that there as well. Here's the opening. So you can see just how big that opening is around the Type C. and again, like the edges here kind of have this weird angle, this like triangle angle. It's like I said, it's a really solid overall keyboard, really well built. The bottom here, you can see, again, no pop-out feet or anything because there's no angle adjustment. And that inlay goes all the way around to the back here. But it's all, like I said, it's pretty much one solid piece of aluminum, which is really, really awesome. I've been using this keyboard. I mean, 60% is something that you have to get used to. And I really realized it because I use arrow keys a lot. Like if I'm going through photos, like, you know, we're doing reviews and taking a bunch of photos. I'm picking the photos that I want. I'm using the back and forward arrow keys a lot to do that. And when you don't have those on the keyboard, you know, it, you realize that you don't have it. I also use like print screen a lot. I use page up a lot, and that's just not on this keyboard. So you don't have a function row and you don't have any of those other extra keys, obviously no number pad on this. So it's definitely something that you need to get used to. But I think if you're buying a 60% keyboard, for the most part, you kind of know what you're getting into. Backlighting, as you can see, it does have really good backlighting, even though we don't have see-through legends here. It's all customizable. They have their own software, which is actually pretty good. A lot of these custom, semi-custom keyboards, like they'll give you like some weird hacked version of like VIA or any other kind of open source software. This is CyberPower PC's own software. It allows you to fully reprogram the keyboard. You can have alternate functions as well, which is really nice. So you can do like an alternate layer, which is like, you know, nothing's programmed in the alternate. There's two alternate layers. One by default is like, here's all the alternates that you get by default. You can't edit these, but then there's a second alternate layer that you can edit and make it anything that you want. And you can choose any command and anything. So if you make use of both their alternate functions and, you know, your own alternate functions, you're not really going to lose out on that much. And again, this software is actually really good. A lot of times we see softwares for keyboards, and they're, like I said, they're not very good. This software is actually quite good. So really, really nice to see that. And again, you can see more of the lighting here. Like I said, I think it looks actually pretty good. And you can control the lighting. You can do per key RGB lighting all in the software too. So you can see it here in the software. You can set everything up quite easily, really easy to go ahead and do that. It sounds really good. I don't know if you guys can even like, I don't know if you can even hear that, but it does sound quite good. It feels quite good. It's really solid. I mean, being so heavy, it's extremely solid, which I absolutely love, because I love like big chunky keyboards that are heavy, that don't feel cheap. And this thing doesn't move around at all because it's so heavy, but it feels really solid as well. They did put sound dampening in here. So you reviewed the OneDrop keyboard that was aluminum as well. It had some pinging. So, you know,
That's what I was going to ask. It's when you were doing the typing there, it sounded like it may not have some dampening. Maybe it's just not coming across the mic very well.
It does. It's not the best, but it's not like what we saw on that drop keyboard. It is really good. It sounds really good. I think it's a solid keyboard, and it's only $94 on Amazon right now. But the thing that we were told and that we were shown at CES both years, you know, 23 and 24, is that just like CyberPower PCs, you could customize this. You could, and even on the website, if you go to the website for this, like on the CyberPower website, it shows all of these different colors. It shows all of these different colorways for the keycaps. It shows like 8 or 9 different switch options. It shows that this stuff will be there, but there's no way to do it. They only offer a white version and a black version, and with single switch option. And I just want more cut, like that really limits it. Like a lot of people don't want a red switch. You know, if you're a gamer, maybe, but there's so many better switches out there. A lot of people want a really cool colorway if they're going to be spending this amount on a keyboard, or like not everybody wants a plain Jane black or a plain Jane white. And I think if they get that up and running, but it's been a while. Like I said, we were first shown these in January of 2023. It's now, you know, almost halfway through 2024, and we don't have any customization, any way to pick this out. That's kind of a bummer to me. I gave the keyboard a 9 out of 10. I really like, for what it is, I really like it. It's again, it's heavy. It feels great. But there's no custom, like you can't customize it, which is kind of like their whole thing was like, you know, the way they explained it to us was like, you know, building your own keyboard is great, but like not a lot of people want to do it. So we'll build a sort of semi-custom keyboard for you, but there's no customization. It's just like buying any other mechanical keyboard that's out there.
Yeah, hopefully they'll come along with it, because they had some really cool, like key, you know, color and keycap and switch combinations in their suite, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen some really cool builds, which had me really excited for this keyboard. But then seeing just the black and white versions is kind of like, you know, there's got to be something like supply chain or like cost prohibitive, right? To have it, maybe it just doesn't make sense yet for them to have all those options.
Or like maybe this was, these are a test, see how these sell.
Right. Right.
But again, it's extremely kind of limited yourself. Yeah. Because like typically if a keyboard comes out, you know, like this is the keyboard, as a manufacturer or a brand, you could sell just the white one and the black one, but then you would have at least two switch options. You would have a linear and a clicky typically, right? But a lot of companies have like three Switch options that you can choose from. And they only have one, which is the Reds. So that's a bit.
Which is, it's also really surprising since it's hot swappable. Yeah. Switch, right? Like, it's not, it wouldn't be that difficult for them to offer like a red, or I'm sorry, a blue and like a brown or something, right?
Yeah.
Along with this.
Yeah, so that's the only thing. I wish it was just a little bit more customizable. But if you're looking for a chonky keyboard that's really comfortable, that feels good, it is a really good keyboard. Like I said, not wireless or anything like that, but it's a nice keyboard, and it's under $100. It is 60%, so you can say that's a bit expensive, but I think you're paying for the big block of aluminum. You know what I mean? I think that's a big thing. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. We'll move on from there to some fast portable storage, which you guys listen to this podcast at any time, you know that I love fast portable storage. So this drive is a portable SSD from Patriot. It's their transporter. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2, not 2x2. So your max speed is going to be about 1,000 megabytes a second. And if we go real quickly to our testing, you can see that it's just that, 1,000 megabytes a second, both read and write, which is going to be really good. So portable game drive, portable editing drive, just a drive that you take back and forth from work or whatever it may be. It's going to be super fast, really easy to go ahead and do that. One thing I did like about this drive is that the cable that comes with it is a combo cable. So it does have the type A adapter on it. So if you were, bring this over to a friend's house and they have an older computer that doesn't have any type C's, you wouldn't be left out in the dark there. So I really like that. It has that. Also, this drive is extremely thin. Like, this thing is super, super thin, which I like. So a lot of these drives are like a little thick. I'm always like, I need to have this stuff on hand. I have the keyboard, but I don't have the actual drive because it's over there. But like, some of these are a little bit thicker, which is like when you put it in your pocket with your phone, it's like, this thing is really, really thin. I mean, to give you an idea, like, here's a Type-C port, and you can see just how thin this is, which is really nice. It's like, it definitely can fit in your pocket, especially for a guy. Like, it will fit comfortably in your front pocket, which is really nice there as well. So, aluminum construction on the chassis of this as well. So you have some nice protections there. And like I said, performance-wise, no issues, 1,000 megabytes a second. And you can see, it performs really well with all of the other USB 3.2 Gen 2 drives. Obviously, if you go to Gen 2x2, you double that speed. So really good speeds overall. It is available up to 4 terabyte as well, which is nice. A lot of these you can buy up to 2 terabyte, but they actually have this in a 4 terabyte, which is great. The 2 terabyte that we reviewed sells for $134.99. Puts it in the same ballpark as a lot of the others, the Samsung, the SanDisk, the ADATAs, like all kind of the same price. But if you were to spend, and that's why USB 3.2 and USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drives are, I always say get the 2x2 because one, the 2x2 gives you double the speed, but you're not paying double the price. For about $30 more, you can get a 2 terabyte 2x2 drive. And you're getting double the speed there. So, but this is a good drive. There's nothing wrong with it. I would think they would come out with a 2x2 drive at some point. But currently it's only USB 3.2 Gen 2, 1,000 megabytes a second. But it's like I said, it's a good drive. It's a simple drive, and I love my fast portable storage. It's like a lifesaver, especially on vacations and stuff, because all our little laptops now, they only have like that, that one drive that's in it, and maybe it's even a 512 gig drive, and you have all your footage that you don't want to lose right, from your vacation, and you want to put it on a portable drive, you have that. So it's nice to have one of these. So definitely check that review out as well. If you guys didn't see it on our YouTube channel, I finally put out a new video. I talked about getting more long form videos out. This one is 17 minutes long. So it is a long video of my review of the Gigabyte Aorus FO27Q3, which we talked about, was it last week or the week before? I think it was the week before.
Was it? Yeah, maybe it was
last week. But did a full 17-minute video on this monitor. This is a 27-inch QD OLED, 360 hertz. And I think the best way to really enjoy a review about a monitor is on the screen. You want to see it. You want to see how it performs. So I'd go over everything in this video. My first real monitor review that's a video review. So I would appreciate if you guys check it out. If you do like it, definitely give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment. But yeah, it was a, like I said, it was a fun review and got to play games and record myself playing games. So it was
yeah, you had to, how long did you have to play to get some, like, those Apex clips? Cause I was like, his aim's on pretty good here. He must've been playing quite a bit.
I felt great on Apex on that monitor because it's so fast. Yeah. It's so fast and your reaction times are better. And obviously it's going to look more vibrant. And when I play Apex on this 49 inch, I'm only playing in the middle of the screen. Whereas like the 27, I'm playing on the full thing. I'm fully immersed. Like, it was a good thing. And we can get to some of that here. We'll show you guys really quickly.
You have motion blur enabled in the game, don't you? You've got to.
I'm also recording it. I'm like recording the screen.
I was losing your audio there a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I believe so.
Okay.
But yeah, my aim's on there, man. I'm getting some
lasering people. Yeah.
Yeah, lasering them across the map. I'm doing good over here. So definitely check out the video. Like I said, it is on our YouTube channel. And I would definitely appreciate it if you hit the thumbs up. Definitely helps us out. But yeah, fun video, and expect more long form videos. I have a lot of stuff queued up. It's just getting the time to get everything done here. Now we're moving on to Case Mod Friday, and I gotta say, this is such, talking about gaming. This is really cool. So this is a sniper rifle PC build by Jugapat Modifier, and he did one. We featured the previous one that he did maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
This one is very much the same. This one's for the Cooler Master. Whatever their Case Mod World Series, I believe. But I mean, that's like the PCs right here, you know, the water cooling, power supplies in the back, radiators over here. It's man, it's so cool. And obviously it looks like a real sniper rifle.
Yeah, this is cool. I really like, so a lot of times I'm not in, like I've always said, I'm not into some of these like builds that don't even look like a computer, but this one's pretty sweet. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, he does a really good job at incorporating everything, and but still it looks like the object whatever he's building, which right. I think is really cool. So yeah, really awesome to see that, and it's like fully water cooled, which is really cool as well.
Where's the GPU on this? Was
there a GPU? There is no GPU. Okay. So he's using the internal graphics. Yeah, because I was like, but then there's no riser because I was like, is it up here? Is it back here? like, where is it? But no, there's no GPU in this. But still really cool. You can see the pump there, yeah, the fan.
And the power supply is in the stock there.
Yeah, it's right back there.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool and interesting build. Wonder if this, like,
I was just about to say, if that was an LCD.
That showed your stats. That would be really
cool. Or like, if just for show, it would show like a clip of like a sniper shot, like in game, you know, like just.
Yeah. That would be really, really cool. So you can see the system there, all water cooled. So definitely shout out to Jugapat Modifier. He has some really, really cool builds. Of course, we link his Facebook and everything like that in the post as well if you want to check it out. But yeah, definitely really, really cool build there. And this week, we announced our new giveaway. So just like we've been trying to do giveaways every month. And this month, we are giving away the Crucial Pro Overclocking Edition DDR5. I reviewed it last week. They actually sent us two kits. So the second kit hasn't been opened. It's brand new and really easy to enter. You know, super, super easy. We do all of our contests through Gleam. If you're familiar, you just fill it out. But... and I've said this before, and people who have won were disqualified because you have to be subscribed to our email newsletter. You have to. If you're not, if you subscribe and then you unsubscribe the next day, and then when it's sometimes to pick a winner, we check against our subscriber list on the newsletter. So if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, you're disqualified. If you win and I check and you're not, like, you got to pick somebody else.
Next one. Yep.
And it's happened the last two times. The last two winners were not subscribed. So you have to be, that's the only thing we ask you to do is just be subscribed to the newsletter. But once you subscribe to the newsletter, it opens up 16 other ways that you can enter by like following us on social media, all that kind of stuff. Really easy to go ahead and do that. But of course, we just want to give back to you guys and, you know, give away some stuff. So yeah, check that out for sure. If you can't find it on the website, for some reason, you can't find this page, you click on the contest link at the top here. And then right here, it's the first one. So right in there, and then you enter. Really easy to go ahead and do that. So real quick in the chat, I didn't see my buddy Corey's in the chat. Good to see you here. I'm so bad at, I'd be a really bad like professional streamer, I feel like. Cause like I never
look at the chat. I miss them all the time. So
yeah. And like at least in stream, maybe in streaming, can you set, because I know like in what's the thing you use to stream?
OBS.
Like in OBS or whatever, or Streamlabs.
I use Streamlabs.
You can set like a sound when somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you can do that in StreamYard, but yeah, good to see you, Corey. Hope everything's starting to get warm back there in PA, and hopefully you're enjoying it. Let's move on to news. So some really interesting stuff this week. Lots of Computex previews and leaks and stuff like that. And, you know, Computex is in Taipei, right? And on the Chip Hell forums, which is like a Chinese forum, it's about computers. Somebody posted this cryptic message that says, first released at the Taipei Auto Show, the four models of W16, W12, V8, V6 have no big or small cores and will be on sale at the end of July. And
can you bring it up on page?
Oh,
on
sorry.
The screen real quick.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the Taipei Auto Show. What?
Yeah. So somebody posts this really cryptic message on the Chip Hell forums, and everybody's inferring that this is some insider that has information about Ryzen 9000. So, Ryzen 9000, if you guys don't know, so the way that AMD has done it is we just did Ryzen 7000. We've seen those. And then Ryzen 8000 will be the APUs, and the desktop CPUs will be Ryzen 9000. That's how they do it. They skip. And they're inferring from this cryptic message, again, on Chip Hell forums, that means that Ryzen desktop series will have 16, 12, 8, and 6 Zen 5 cores.
Okay.
So, I mean, it seems pretty apparent that that's what it would be. Although no 4 core, no quad core.
No big or small cores.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they say no mention of 3D V cache, but we usually get those later.
Yeah, you get those a lot later. Are you excited for Ryzen 9000?
From a like an enthusiast standpoint, yes. I'm always excited to see what they come out with. I've just been like, and more so than Intel usually, because I don't know. I just feel like I'm still supporting that underdog, even though they've made back so much, you know, gained back so much real estate in the CPU market. But as a buyer, no, like I still feel very good about my 5800X.
That's what I think is like an Achilles heel for AMD a lot of the time too, is like their stuff's so good and you can use it for so long.
Yeah.
And typically it's pretty feature rich on the features that you want. Right. Yes. So, you know, with the M.2 support with Gen 4 and Gen 5, like, you know, you don't need, most people don't need like a Gen 5 drive even, you know, for the most part. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, July, that's coming up. I mean, that's not that far away. Oh, yeah, it'll
be here before we know it. Especially, you know, following up Computex.
Yeah, so interesting to see. Well, you know, obviously, as it gets closer, we'll see a lot more leaks. And I think after next week, we'll see a lot more stuff. Gigabyte put out this teaser image. It said coming soon. And, I mean, that's a motherboard. I mean, you can see the four holes around the CPU stack. That's a motherboard. Most people are expecting Z890. So that's on the Intel side. Where, of course, we did Z790 motherboards. The next generation would be Z890. But it could be on the other side as well. It could be for Ryzen 9000. We don't know. You know, it says 2024, so it's coming out. It's not like it's something you're going to see next year. I think on the Intel side, you're going to see USB 4. You're going to see Wi-Fi 7. On a next, you know, the next generation boards, more support for PCI Express 5, like getting more, you know, maybe not just one slot, maybe more. Anything that you would think that would be added to
like this? Maybe more 10 gig becoming more of a standard on Ethernet, right? We get it on some boards, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, like the next chipset, totally like prevalent. You wonder what the, because we went from 1 gig and then Z790, the standard is 2.5 gig that's from the chipset. So it'd be interesting to see what you're going to get from the chipset on these next gen motherboards. I'm getting super excited because I love motherboards. So always like to see some new stuff coming. It'd be interesting to see the newer designs. Are they going to switch up the overall look of the boards? What are we going to get? Are those features that we did see from Gigabyte as far as like the EC latch, is that going to come across the entire line now? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. They debut it on like high end boards for the first series. And then like it trickles down as we.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, but I mean, I'm sure we'll see this at Computex as well. So that's pretty exciting. I think we'll see a lot of boards, now this is really interesting. I really don't know that much about this type of memory, but of course MSI Project Zero, we did our whole Project Zero build. If you want to check that out, it is on our YouTube. And their next generation of Project Zero motherboards have this CAM2 memory. You familiar with this memory at all?
Nope, not until I saw this earlier in the week, I think.
So this is like a type of memory that kind of gets screwed on somehow.
I think that, and you know, instead of the side clips that we have on our DIMMs, it is secured via screws.
Yeah, I mean, this is how kind of it works. It's all explained here, you know, and how it goes in. And now, are you in favor of something like this? You know,
why not? Like, if you look at, like, I look over at my motherboard and it takes up a big rectangle of shape of size. So it's not like taking up that much more. It's probably as wide as four sticks of RAM, but not as long, right? And just think of the things you could do with this as well. Like, as this matures, like, you're going to see LCD screens on your memory.
Yeah.
Like, you're absolutely going to have that. So yeah, I don't mind. Like, I'm up for changing the form factor. I don't think it really bothers me.
Now, this is just on their Project Zero. I think it does open up a lot more room for larger coolers too, because you don't have to worry about the RAM sticks. That was my first thought. But yeah, like, you could see a screen going on here. You could, you know, there's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. If this becomes a thing, I mean, like I said, the Project Zero and Asus's BTF is becoming a thing. So we'll see if this standard of memory becomes a thing. I think it makes it a lot easier.
Heat has me a little concerned because are you trapping heat underneath it, or do you need a heat sink on top? And what does that look like?
What does that type of heat sink look like? Yeah. Yeah, but it'd be really interesting to see if that definitely becomes a thing. So we'll definitely keep our eyes out for that as well. And we see, maybe we'll, like I said, just from MSI, as from what we saw, but is Asus going to do it? Gigabyte going to do it? We'll have to see. Talk about something we talked about a little bit a while ago, maybe like a month ago, was this laptop on desktop sort of idea. So Lenovo is starting to sell their Legion 700K. It's a mobile on desktop. Basically, it has a Core i9-14900HX, which is a laptop part. And you can see it has the built-in heatsink and everything over the CPU. And it has the, you know, this is essentially a laptop board or sort of a laptop board.
Kind of.
With, again, support for a full-length X16 graphics card, a custom-made board here that has that. I kind of like this. I think it brings down cost. It also brings down, like it allows for a less power-hungry system, too, because the laptop chips do have lower TDPs, you know what I mean? And for a lot of setups, that's fine. You know, I think us, like, enthusiasts, we want the full desktop part, but for a lot of people who just want to maybe play some games, like, you don't need... And especially when it comes to like the 1400 series, those get really, really hot. So you need these, you know, if you're having like a pre-built Lenovo Legion system that has a 14900K on it, that's going to need a 360 mil AIO, if not more than that. You know, so this kind of eliminates that because you have the lower TDP of the sort of laptop part. Everything's going to perform pretty decently for normal gaming and things like that. Yeah,
I'm interested in it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think just for people who are kind of in the pre-built game, like that's just kind of what they want. They want to buy something. This makes it more affordable, I think. And it also eliminates a lot of like, again, with 14th gen, there's just heat issues. There's heat issues.
I like the design of that heatsink, though. Moving it back right up against that rear fan.
Yeah.
So that fan's pulling double duty, moving air across the heatsink and exhausting it out the back.
Yeah. So really, like I said, interesting to see. Maybe these will show up at Best Buy or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Also, we have Old Man in the chat. I'm just seeing it now. Good to see you here as well. Moving on from there. Last year at Computex, we saw G-Skill announce or show. They didn't announce. They showed their Trident Z5 Royal memory. This is, of course, the DDR5 version of their Trident Z Royal, which was like, when it came out, it was so cool. It was some of the coolest memory. And they have yet to bring it out. So you can buy G-Skill DDR5 memory, but you couldn't get their Trident Royal memory in, you know, DDR5. And a lot of people doing new builds, like, I want that cool-looking memory.
Look, yep.
And we talked about it last week that it was kind of leaked that it might come out, and they just announced it. So Trident Z5 Royal looks sick. I think if you're doing some type of really elegant build, I mean, this stuff just looks awesome.
Stinking font on the side, though. Change that up. I'm just... Ugh.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the font. No. I think if anything, they could have done something different with the font, but...
Other than that, yeah, it
has the crystal sort of diffuser, which you all know from, again, we've reviewed both the silver and the gold in the DDR4. So seeing the DDR5 is definitely nice. It's going to look amazing, and high capacities on this, high speeds on this as well. So like up to 8,400 megahertz in a 48 kit, that's 2x 24 gig. So, and you can get capacities up to 96 gigs, which is awesome. So really cool to see that as well. And yeah, you can do the lighting control through their own software, or you can use your motherboard software. So, yeah, it says, will be available late May. So probably announced, or it's announced, but probably available, you know, right around when Computex starts and anything like that. So, yeah, good to see. That was like the one memory kit that we just didn't get DDR5 of initially. You know, every other company, we had our Corsair Dominator Platinums, and we had everything else. I wonder what
took them so long.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think, too, it's like now there's wide availability of it. And the specifications are higher, because this is their flagship high-end kit. That's and true. you don't want to put out like 6,000 megahertz of this. Like, you know, you want you want in this at least 7,000. And again, you can get up to 8,400 of this stuff. And again, those platforms are more widely available too. A lot more people are getting a Z790 with a 14900K or, you know, so. So yeah, really good to see that. I'm sure they'll be showing it off at Computex next week. Height has a new thick cooler. We just reviewed the Q60, right?
Yes.
Right. You should know, Ryan. You reviewed it.
I just said yes. Yeah.
I know. I just messed with you. So they have the thick Q80, and they kind of hinted this to us that they were going to come out with a 360 millimeter AIO. Yours was the 240.
Yep.
Obviously, the big difference with this cooler compared to others is that the radiator is thick. That's why it's called thick.
Yeah, 52 millimeters.
52 millimeters. The big change on this 360, and they actually will be offering the fans as well, is that the fans are a solid, one solid section. They're not three individual fans. Yours was three individual fans, right?
Two fans.
Well, two individual
fans. But yes, yeah. Two individual. Absolutely. Yep. But they're they're the magnetic connecting. So there's, cableless. But yeah, this is a single piece.
So you have the single piece, which I think is great. It makes installation so much easier, and everything. But just like the, we were talking about an AIO that's part of a system I'm building. The fans came pre-attached to that. That was really nice. Saves a lot of time.
See, and these are set up in a pole config in this image, because, they are going to configure it like that because of their Y70 case, right? Or But yeah.
You still get the big LCD that was on yours. It basically looks like a phone. Pretty cool.
It's enormous.
Yeah, so they announced that. They also announced a thick P60 Duo. So this, again, single dual fan, but no screen, just a kind of a white, little smaller kind of cover here, and then with that backlighting that you got on the other one, which kind of makes sense. I think a lot of people don't want the screen. The screen does adds
a lot of cost,
whereas like a lot of people maybe just want that, and they want the performance that you're going to get out of a thicker AIO.
I wish they would have released this at the same time as the screen one. I know they don't want to cannibalize their sales, but like the one with the Q60 is very expensive, right? And I think they could have launched both of these at the same time. But
yeah. I think
it just wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. Who knows? But I mean, I like it. And then they're actually going to sell the fans as well. So you can pick up these fan kits for yourself to add to your system. Again, making things so much easier. old man in the chat. We have a bunch of people in the chat. I'm not even looking at the chat. I need to look at the chat. So we have Total Tech Resources or Old Peeps in here. Pseudoscientist we have in here. And Old Man asked the question, is that an okay configuration for an AIO with a radiator intake outlet at the top? Ryan, if
that's
you
fine.
Want. Yeah, that's fine. It's not a big
And I really don't have any concerns, especially on this unit, because you have two pumps that are integrated into that radiator. You're going to be fine. I know there was some chat about this like a year or two ago with people thinking it was a bad option because you could theoretically get, over time, some of these AIOs lose liquid in their loop.
Yeah.
Evaporation, things like that. And you could end up with like a dry pump scenario where you've got bubbling or just air at the top and you're not getting circulation of that liquid. But I there's really no concern.
Yeah, I would say like Ryan is the AIO expert. I wonder how many AIOs that you reviewed. Probably a lot.
Quite a few.
So yeah, no real issues when it comes to that. But yeah, pretty cool to see. Cooler Master came out with some of these, and like you just don't see them.
Another cool thing about these fans also is they have integrated temperature sensors. on them. Now, I don't know how they're laying them out on this like triple and double configuration, right? Whether they're just going to have a single temperature sensor or if every fan blade area is going to have its own temperature sensor. But I know the individual fans have a temperature sensor, so you can monitor that air like coming into it or going out depending on the orientation you have for it, which is really nice because then you can report on those temperatures and you can also act on those temperatures in the software. And you know, nice. Just another trigger point for your configuration.
Yeah, I really, like I said, I like what Height's doing. They're doing some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that out. Now, on the AIO fronts, so an interesting release this past week. ID Cooling, not the best well-known brand, but they have AIOs. They released, and I wanted your opinion on this, Ryan, because you're the AIO guy. This is their FX360 Pro, 360 millimeter AIO, $60.
Yep.
That makes it cheaper than a lot of high-end air coolers.
It does.
Now, the thing that I worry about, and I did notice it, is that I don't know what, like everybody who uses Asetek as their OEM, this is the old gen, I don't know what gen
right,
this
where is. Where it snaps you, it, yeah, the mounting bracket snaps on. Yeah,
it's yeah, very you early. Would know more than me what gen this is of Asetek, but it is, maybe this is an older gen pump and stuff, and maybe not as good as a lot of the newer stuff that we're getting. But for $60, it's kind of hard to complain. Like, you have this nice little top, no lighting or anything like that. No lighting on the fans, but $60.
Those fans also look like they're thin. I don't know if it's just the angle, but they almost look like they could be like 15 millimeter fans. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's just the angle.
I think it's the angle.
I hope.
Yeah, you would hope. But
yeah, you're just so $60 is so cheap that like
that's what I mean. It's like even if it's like an older gen pump, $60.
It's probably fine. You know, I wouldn't put it on like a 14900K.
No,
but
for like most people doing a build, they're like, oh, sure, I gotta spend $179, $159, and then they're like, oh wait, $60? That, you know, that's a big difference in price. So it'd be interesting to see when, like I said, maybe find some reviews and see
how this thing goes. You're not going to find like nicely daisy chained fans. You're going to probably have, you know, they might not even be PWM fans, right? They might just be a 3-pin fan with it. So there's ways to save money and provide a decent cooler.
It says redesigned Gen 7 pump core. So Gen 7 pump.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We lived through this mounting system for years, and I'm so glad that we don't use it anymore. Now that I see it, it just brings back memories of trying to turn it.
get it locked in, and it was too loose, sometimes it was too tight,
So interesting to see, but for $60, it's kind of hard to like not at least give it a shot, I'd say. High Ground, which if you guys don't know me, they make keyboards. They you might like these, Ryan. They announced Minecraft themed keyboards that look really cool. This is called their Game as Art collaboration. They actually had another one too that I'm gonna see if I can go to the website and find it, but Minecraft
like themed gray one
keyboards. Yeah, that's really cool. They had another one that was
are they doing desk mats too?
Yeah, they have desk mats, everything.
Because some of those desk mats are pretty cool.
They have all of these, like there's a bunch of different ones. This is the one sold out. That's like all of
all those blocks.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I thought that one was super cool. But yeah, like I said, I think these are really cool. It's one of the cooler collaborations, I think. We've seen a bunch of really cool collaborations when it comes to mechanical keyboards, but I really like this one. I'm not the biggest Minecraft fan, but I actually really do like this. And like these graphics actually look really nice on the keyboard too.
Yeah. I'm digging those play mats though.
Yeah, they have a bunch.
Not like, play mats, but like the desk mats.
Cool. Mouse pad. Yeah.
And it looks like they have a bunch of other
they do a
franchises
bunch of,
as well.
They do a bunch of collaborations. They have some, we're just trying to get some stuff in from them. Yeah, like
that creeper one's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, they have a ton of different mouse mats and different things. A lot of them are based around their collaborations. So they have like the Dragon Ball Z collaborations and stuff like that. So when you know you buy one of their keyboards, right? Like you buy their Minecraft keyboard, you can get a Minecraft mouse mat that sort of matches it. So if you have a design, it's all good to go, which is really nice. It's really, really nice to see that. You know, if you want the same thing, but they have a bunch of really cool keyboards, but I like that collaboration, the Minecraft collaboration. It's really, really cool. So, cool. Yeah, really, really good to see that as well. We've been talking about the ROG Ally X. That is the second gen of the original ROG Ally. I wouldn't call it an ROG Ally 2 because they're not changing the CPU that's inside, or the overall design is not changing all that much. They're adding more memory. So you're going from 16 gig of memory to 24 gigabyte of memory, and you're getting a better battery. So they're calling it the ROG Ally X, which I assume would just sit higher in the product stack of the ROG Ally. You know, so some pictures came out. This does say ROG Ally 2, but I don't think that's what they're... It's going to be called the ROG Ally X, I believe. Because 2 would... You would need a new CPU to
You'd need more, yeah, changes. Yeah.
But these pictures do confirm the 24 gigabytes of memory and the 1 terabyte SSD. So you can get the other one with a 512 or a 1 terabyte. This one's just going to be 1 terabyte. So solves a lot of problems that they were having. I assume we'll see this at Computex as well. It seems so quick for like a little refresh, but I guess it kind of just makes sense. You know, so yeah, so have that. We talked about it last week that Antec was entering the gaming handheld markets. Yep. They did their official announcement after we talked about it, after, because there were some leaks. So yeah, they announced their Core HS, which is built in partnership with Aya Neo. I do like the slide up screen. It's the only saving grace of this because it's made by Antec. I just like, if I'm buying a gaming handheld, it's gonna be the ROG Ally, it's going to be the Steam Deck, and maybe the Lenovo. Those are like the ones that I would actually like. If I was spending the money, I don't think I'd buy one from Antec, just because
if they would have been a bigger name for, like, they used to be the huge name in cases, right? Everybody wanted an Antec case, early on, and they've just kind of been nowhere, and they've kind of made a resurgence in the last year or two. But not enough for me to buy their handheld.
We'll talk about this towards the end of the podcast, but I just feel like Antec, they see that this is popular, gaming handhelds are popular, they're jumping in. But like this product line, I don't see it lasting, whereas like the thing you worry about when you buy something like this is support, updates. Are they going to keep on pushing firmware updates, or you know what I mean? That's the thing that I worry about when companies kind of jump into this, is that, you know, how long is this going to be supported? That's the biggest thing that I kind of worry about. So, but that was the official announcements. And then on the Lenovo side, just like I was talking about, Lenovo is going to release a Legion Go Lite, which is going to be less expensive. It won't have the detachable controllers like the original does. I think it makes sense. I don't know how many people are actually taking advantage of like taking the controllers off and like using them, you know.
Right. Did the Go have a like a middle piece? I know like my son uses the Switch, but puts the controller sometimes onto like a bigger controller base and uses them together. Does the Go have something like that?
I've never seen him
play like with them just in his hands.
Yeah, no, I think these just attach to the sides. You know what I mean? I don't think there's a portable controller. I could be wrong. Let's see.
Maybe Sony makes one. Who knows?
Because it doesn't. It shows them apart. It shows them together. It shows a stand. No, I think it's just a charging stand, maybe, for them.
Possibly.
Yeah. But yeah, so
it looked huge in that girl's hands.
I know, right? Yeah. She was like, oh, gosh. Yeah. So yeah, like I think all of these are just like, you know, the ROG Ally X is coming out. So maybe Lenovo's like, we need to have something that's, you know, we got to keep on competing. But yeah, guys, that is the news for the week. Coming next week, I can't tell you what it is. I did show it to Ryan today. But it's an interesting case that's actually launching tomorrow. So check out the website tomorrow. We'll have a new case. It's, like I said, it's pretty interesting. So, yeah, really, I don't know. I think it's cool. I don't know how many people, it's designed differently. We'll just say that it's a differently designed case, yep. But it is launching tomorrow. So definitely, stay tuned for that. Old Man in the Chat says handhelds are really popular with retro gamers as long as it's not too expensive. Decades of games in the palm of your hand. Well, that's the thing. That's why I'm actually really surprised at how popular like the ROG Ally X or, you know, any of these Lenovo's, like they're between like in the low end like $399 and then the high end is like $800, you know. So that's not cheap for to play games, like, you know, when you can get like a little emulator handheld for like $60 to $80.
But if, like, think of it though, you can play much more than just emulated games.
Well, that's the thing, is like I maybe these are popular instead of the parents buying them a new PC, they buy them this plus a monitor, and then like, you know, you dock it and then you just connect it out to like a 1080p monitor.
Yeah,
you know what possibly. I mean. So pretty interesting. Our question of the week, and I didn't really go into detail on a lot on Computex, because our question of the week is, what do you think the biggest things are going to be at Computex? Like, what do you think is going to be the biggest thing that we talked about at the show?
I can see some more monitors. Like that was very popular at CES, right? We saw a lot of high refresh rate. So I think maybe we could see some further improvements or like higher specs out of some of those. I was thinking about this today because I saw the show notes obviously beforehand and saw this question. So I thought about it a little bit. I thought maybe some cases, because I feel like we're not done with the O11 dynamic and like the height Y70 type case, right? I think we're just going to see more variations of that style in the case world. As much as like it feels like we've had that case for 5 years now, which we may have actually seen it for that long. But past that, I don't know. What about you?
Well, if you guys are in the chat, if you want to say your predictions as well. I mean, the biggest thing is going to be AI. So everybody's going to come out with their AI product. They're going to come out with their AI laptop. They're going to come out with their AI thing, you know, their AI, whatever it has AI in it. That's going to be the big thing. Everybody's going to have it. Yo, this motherboard has AI. It's going to tell, you know, or
my gaming mouse has AI.
We talked about all the co-pilot announcement last week. You're going to have all of those being shown as well. AI is going to be the big thing. Everybody's adding AI into their product. Beyond that, gaming handhelds are going to be a thing. And we didn't write articles on it, but ADATA is coming out with a gaming handheld. Zotac is coming out with a gaming handheld. And I didn't really look into it because I was super busy today, but I don't know if those are in collaboration, like with the Antec, with like an Aya Neo, or they're building their own. But I think everybody's coming out with gaming handhelds. It's just, I think it's just like when all of the non-memory companies started making SSDs, you know?
Sure.
When that happened, it was just like, oh, this is something that people are going to buy. It's easy. And I think these are kind of the same thing.
Could be.
So I think, gaming handhelds and AI are going to be probably the biggest things, or like, you know, but we're going to see a lot of cool stuff. Like we talked about, you're going to see Z890 motherboards. You're going to see if they're called X790 motherboards. AMD is doing the keynote, I believe. So you know, definitely some stuff there. Maybe some leaks of some graphics cards or something. We always see something that's kind of just sitting there that somebody kind of finds.
Right, isn't supposed to see. Right, yeah, you see like a box with a label that's put somewhere accidentally or, you know.
Yeah. Like in the chat, old man, just like I said, like something with AI. Everybody's jumping on the AI bandwagon. Pseudoscientists said the same thing. Yeah, I mean, you think, I mean, pseudoscientist says predicting big price increases for everything. Like, do you really think, I mean, we, especially like on the motherboard side, we saw pretty massive increases on both X670E and Z790 motherboards. I mean, they started at like 300. I mean, do you think people have the appetite to go higher than that? You know, no. I think we'll probably stay around the same price, even if they're adding certain features like a stock, like the stock ASUS Z890A motherboard. If that thing is like 600, like $500-$600, like, you know what I mean? And then you have like a, you know, 15900K that's, you know, $800, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, we're not ready for that.
Yeah, I think prices will relatively stay the same. I think with, again, how bad the economy is too, you know, it's gonna be, old man in the chat said, isn't there a new 25% tax on all Chinese electronics? Yeah, they reinstated the old tariffs. Yeah, so that's going to make things pretty interesting as far as pricing goes as well. But I'm excited for Computex. It's always good to see stuff. We see a lot of really cool sort of developmental stuff. Like ADATA teased their liquid cooled sort of Gen 5 NVMe drive. There's always some really cool stuff. Inwin typically has a crazy case, although
they haven't done that in a couple of years.
So maybe,
it's usually at CES that we first see it.
It used to be a Computex when we saw it first.
I don't think we've seen one in quite a few years.
Yeah. But I think AI is going to be the thing. And like everybody said in the chat too, it's like, I like AI when it makes sense, right? But when it doesn't make sense, they're just adding it and they're just calling it.
Or when it's not actually AI, right? And it's just like, this is just some programming, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, talking about that, I watched the CoffeeZilla video on the let me bring it up.
He did the big crypto thing, didn't he?
He did the crypto thing, but he just did one on the little, why can't I think of the name of the product? The rabbit what's it called? He did two videos on the little rabbit AI device. This is supposed to be a little AI device. And just like you said, he figured out that it's not really AI that's doing all the, like, you're supposed to ask this a question and it's supposed to.
Oh, really?
I've done, you know, interesting. So and this was like highly like all over social media. They sold 20 million in product and it's worse than your phone really at doing anything. If you guys want to check out these videos from CoffeeZilla. I know MKBHD did one on this as well. And kind of figured out that it's kind of crap. So, that's the other tech thing that I actually watched this week. I don't watch a whole lot of like tech stuff because we're like in it. So I typically don't watch a lot of other stuff, but I was really interested because this was all over social media. The other one was too. This one's only $199, I believe, for the little device. The other one was like $799.
Holy cow.
That thing was trash. It's like, these things don't do what they're supposed to. Like, it's a worse experience than your phone. And right. Why would you have another device that's not your phone? You know, but they also found out that it's not, there's no AI on the device.
In the thing, right. It's a middleman between.
It's, and most of it is ChatGPT. So most of it is when you ask it a question, it's going out to ChatGPT and like returning stuff. It's not, it's really interesting. But again, this is like the hype train. This thing was so hyped to be like this crazy thing that they sold 20 million in product, you know, at the pre-launch or whatever. And it's just
not like people are going to get this thing and be like, oh,
yeah. It's like those, you know, like all those weird kicks, like not weird Kickstarter, like all these, those Kickstarters. And then you finally got it and it was like some half-assed project or like it didn't work correctly. Or like it was 2 years later before you got it. I feel like all these new hyped up AI things, they're just not, you know, like I said, like a pseudoscientist said in like AI art's really cool. ChatGPT for like organizing or like coming up with ideas is really, really great. Like the AI, you were just messing with like the AI music generation. That was pretty cool. Yeah. The generative fill in Adobe is amazing, or like the audio cleanup within Adobe that's all AI powered is awesome. But a lot of this stuff is just overhyped. It's the new, do you remember 3D TVs?
Oh God. I was so mad because I was like, I could see right through it. I was like, this is nobody asked for this. It's the manufacturers and everybody pushing on it.
I remember that year at CES, it was everywhere. Everybody had 3D TVs or 3D. Oh, you got a 3D monitor. It was just, and then like the next year they were gone. Were done. Yeah. So yeah, that's the other tech thing. But yeah, I'm excited for Computex. It's always going to be fun. We will have, if you go to the website, it says CES right now, but I will be changing it. Right here at the top, this says CES, this is all of our CES content. But this is going to change to say Computex 2024. And then all of our Computex stuff will be under that. So we'll have a bunch of articles and stuff all about everything that's coming out from Computex. But just follow us on social. Obviously, we're most active on Twitter or X. Follow us on there, and we will have everything. Be a busy next week because it's always a lot of stuff coming out from Computex. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Anything else you wanted to add tech-wise or anything that you've been working on?
I don't think so. I'm just waiting on a couple.
Yeah, we got some stuff coming in from Ryan. It just hasn't showed up yet. So
yeah.
Keep looking. So yeah, but we are gonna be playing some games. Ryan's gonna play Helldivers tonight.
Nope.
One of these nights. We're gonna plan an evening. It's gonna be like me, you, Shinny, and somebody else, and we're all gonna play Helldivers one night. So, yeah. Ryan will be over on Twitch after the stream ends. If you want to keep on hanging out, we're playing some Apex Legends. Sadly, I don't have the 360 hertz monitor anymore, so I probably won't be as good, but we'll still have some fun. So that stream is going to be up twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Definitely head over there, and we will see everybody next week.